CBSI in the world, I'm John Batchelor. The provocative headline in the Financial Times, will Xi's manufacturing plan be enough to rescue China's economy? Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend, and we're very pleased to welcome Charles Ortel of On the Money with Charles back from his world travels to help us understand this provocative headline and the news from China as Xi Jinping walks and talks with some of the biggest executives in the United States who are looking to mend conversations between the United States and China, frayed these many years by bad actors. Charles, good evening to you. I read from the FT Lead. As Xi Jinping toured China's central Hunan province, local officials were called forward to inform the nation's powerful leader on their plans to accelerate the development of new quality productive forces. The shorthand here is that that's Marxist language for we're going to manufacture and sell our way out of the hole we're in. Will it work, Charles? Good evening to you.
Thank you very much for having me on, both of you. I think it will not work. And I think this is ignoring a tectonic shift, which I'm seeing in what I do, in the employment, in the growing irrelevance of human labor. If you have an export-driven plan in China that's predicated on cheap labor, it's just that's so 1980. I mean, it's just not at the forefront of what's going on here. If the plan were to maybe bring the cost of production down to develop the internal market in China, maybe that would work. But I don't think China is winning friends around the world by having high-level talks in China. You want to win friends, you got to make it possible to get your capital out, get dividends out, interest out, and you got to stop stealing technology.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, the idea, I suppose, is that China is going to develop the world's cutting-edge manufacturing technology and then flood the world with Chinese exports, which will be cheaper and more technologically advanced than anybody else's. You don't think that that's going to be an effective way of going, or do you think that there is a chance that they might actually make this plan succeed if countries accept their products?
I don't think it has a prayer of working, and I'll tell you why. The cost of transportation before the Baltimore accident, let's say, in certain industries is a very high percentage of the landed cost of a finished good. And so China is far away from the bulk of the consumption, no matter where you base something. And I just don't see that working, assuming that China had the best will possible in countries like the U.S. and others where you know, the rich consumers tend to live. So, you know, I don't think it's going to work.
The problem in China, I'm told, Charles, is property. They build up a credit bubble that is, well, there's no metaphor for it. It's a bubble that cannot be solved by the ideas they've had so far. I'm told what would do it is to force the banks to eat the loans, transfer the real estate into the hands of individuals and let people dig their own way out and not look like a central authority way out. But that's not going to happen. So they don't have a solution. Do you regard this talk of Xi Jinping as magic bullet? Is he looking at a solution that he doesn't believe in? Does he believe in it? Is this a product of only being told what he wants to hear? Has the emperor got no clothes, Charles?
I think the Chinese emperor certainly has no clothes in this case. I mean, this is not the first time this type of strategy has been tried. Japan failed miserably at it, and it's coming back the stock market somewhat over there, but the population's old and hollowed out, and I think they squandered a tremendous opportunity, which they had back in 89 at the peak, the last peak. You're right about real estate, and when we think about China, I'm not the kind of expert that Gordon is, but my guess is that wealth is very inequitably distributed inside China and the Chinese diaspora. I know I actually just snapped up a bargain property in Penang from a Chinese purchaser who was in trouble and needed to get out quickly of something he couldn't sell easily. So, you know, I think the real estate problems in China are profound. I think that the number of reliably highly paid people in the private sector is not as high as it needs to be inside China. The second you start paying people in China more and more and more to support the cost of buying property. You lose your labor wage advantage. So I think they've got very difficult problems, and they don't really have a recent institutional history of understanding capitalism swiftly and innovating to serve the global market.
Gordon, digging the hole deeper, is that what she is talking about?
I think it's desperation because, as Charles points out, the property sector, there are no solutions to it, and it could by itself drag down the entire economy and financial system. Their only hope is that other countries will accept Chinese goods at increased levels from today. And I think that that is difficult because it's not just the United States and advanced economies that will start to shut their doors. We're also starting to see countries like Brazil worried about Chinese dumping. So I don't think the global South ultimately will save the Chinese economy.
You have a question for Charles.
Charles, what will save the Chinese economy?
Well, one thing that might save it is if they, which will never happen, abandoned the communist PLA-dominated approach to a country with so many smart people who I think are being held back by the governance structure. That would work, particularly if people who had, like families who had fled China, returned back there under a new regime. Short of that, I think we're kidding ourselves. And very slowly, and then suddenly, China will, what happened to the Soviet Union will happen to the Communist Party.
I think I heard you, Charles, when you presented the first time about manufacturing in China, this idea of special productive means, whatever the fancy Marxist term is in Chinese dialect. I think I heard you say that China's no longer competitive. What was the China price in the late 20th, early 21st century has gone away. Is that what I heard correctly?
You have to think industry by industry, but I had that kind of a lecture given to me in, I think, 2010 by somebody who was the CEO of Precision Cast Parts, which is a big company that Warren Buffett bought. We were on a board together in India, and he explained back then that thinking about labor cost advantages was old school. Labor is a tiny percent of the landed cost of certain export projects and products. And so it's an old way of thinking. And in industry after industry now, I think you're going to see labor forces dramatically cut and profits rise for the adept players to stay rooted to the model that, you know, is predicated on Japan's experience, which didn't work, in 2024. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's really, it's a bunch of people too afraid to tell Xi what he really should do.
Gordon, you have a question.
Charles, you talked about the Baltimore Bridge collapse and the chokehold on transportation. And of course, the Red Sea is now largely blocked off because of the Houthi attacks. Do you think, you know, this is by itself going to end globalization or change it? Because obviously globalization depends on safe and secure skies.
Yeah, I think people around the world are looking more carefully at the results of these big companies that were worshiping on the altar of globalization and asking the kind of pointed questions of, you know, important market by important market. Are we really making money in China? Are we making money in India as foreigners? Are we making money in Germany? Does it make sense to serve the Japanese market? And, you know, unless the globalists who are entrenched in Washington, D.C. destroy America, the American market remains a very large market. And I think companies based here that don't have to transport across oceans can do very well here. And you're going to see a lot of people returning, I believe, to the United States, particularly after the 2024 election, if it goes the correct direction.
Charles, final question, less than a minute. You've been traveling. Is there a new opinion of China as a threat, as a friend, as an opportunity? What is the assumption these days, given the troubles there?
Well, I think it really varies place by place. And in the Dubai Business Class Lounge, it's interesting to listen to different conversations with people around the world. I think in Africa, there are a lot, in other places, there are a lot of horror stories about Chinese involvement. Starts off strong, but then you can't pay your debt and you get in trouble. In places like Malaysia and Penang specifically, which is an export hub, that's booming because people are afraid of what may happen in the U.S.-Europe-China war. They don't want to be hostage to Chinese suppliers, but they're interested in Malaysia. So I think a lot. I'd rather have America's cards, bad as they seem, than China is today.
Charles Ortel, back from overseas. He is on the Money with Charles Ortel podcast. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.